Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
With you and to do all those wonderful things that he wants to do in your life. Many of the blessings in your life begin right here in the house of the Lord. Yeah. He begins things, he initiates things. Many of you that were born again in a church service, obviously the biggest, grandest thing he began in you. But some of us were found Christ in different situations and different places. But I'm believing God has been initiating some blessings in your life, and this morning I think he's speaking to us in a way that not only by our worship, but the atmosphere that we sense as we're worshiping and praising the Lord and having a little bit of freedom to use our gifts or let the Lord use us. That's just a wonderful thing. And I think that's beginning some things in your life that perhaps you've been in prayer about for some time. I'm not sure. Maybe there's some issues that you are wanting God to deal with in your life and recognizing that God's the only one that can help you there. I think when we come to the house of worship and open our hearts to the Lord, he begins those things in our life. And I can trace back many of the things. I can trace back the calling to the ministry right back to the house of God. Many of the fellowships and the relationships that God built early that mentored me and helped me and strengthened me and taught me the Word of God. And all those things were initiated in the house of the Lord. And I believe the house of God is entirely designed by God for that purpose, to win souls, to nurture souls, grow souls, teach souls, mentor souls. And I think that's an awesome thing, and I'm glad to be a part of it in this church, which I think, of course, my opinion, the greatest church on the planet. But that's just me. You can think what you want, but that's how I feel. And the reason I feel that way is because when I came to the house of God this morning and worship began, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit began to move in my heart. So that's got to be the greatest place on earth, right? Where God is touching you, amen? And that's a wonderful thing. And I'd like you to turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew. I want to talk about a principle that is not only a principle, it's a promise and a truth, and it's a literal fact that this happens and does work. If you need a formula or you need an ABC to accomplish anything, this would be a good place to start, because it has to deal with not only your attitude, but it has to do with your prayer life, it has to do with your relationship to Christ, and it has to do with your relationship with others. Did you know that many of your prayers are not answered because of your relationship to other people? And many prayers are answered because of your relationship to other people. Isn't that interesting? That we can affect one another's prayer lives that way. And I'll show that to you, and you'll easily be able to discern that as I share the scripture with you this morning. But I want you to walk out of the house of God today with some ammunition for next week, with a few things in your pocket, so that when the trials and the tests of life come your way, and they're coming, by the way, let me encourage you, hang in there, because they're coming, but they're not going to overcome you. You are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. And so in Matthew, the 18th chapter, I want to read a few verses, and I want to give you the context of it, because you never want to take scripture out of context. I can make the scripture say all kinds of things if I take sections of it out and then define it out of context. And that's why you never want to read the Bible or study the Bible or accept anybody's teaching, mine included, unless you read or know the context of what's being said and you compare it with the rest of the Word of God, because the rest of the Word of God will interpret any other portion of the Word of God. The Word of God is completely balanced. And by the way, that's what God wants out of your life. He wants you to be balanced. He doesn't want you to go haywire one way or another, because of then you become a bad witness and you really have no great success in your Christian walk. But I believe God left us on this planet born again instead of just taking us right to heaven. I believe he left us here for a reason. I believe the local church is part of that reason. I think the local church is the place where God meets the people of this community that gather in this church. God is here. He's been here this morning, and He's still here, and He wants to continue to minister to us. And I think all that we've done so far this morning is leading up to what this Word is going to share with you and what the Holy Spirit is going to plant in your heart to grow and to mature and to become a great blessing in your life. Turn to the 18th verse. I'm going to read three verses, I may not do the 18th verse first, but because that's one of those verses when you're already looking at it, I'm pretty sure, in the 18th chapter of Matthew, 18th verse. I'm going to begin in the 19th verse and read that first and then drop back. And then I want to give you the context and what I want to share with you, what I think the Lord is saying to us today. So let me begin in the 19th. I know this isn't the way you normally read, but I'm going to read the 19th and then drop back to the 18th and then go to the 20th. Listen to what this says. It's just very, very interesting. And this is just a unique word that Jesus gives His disciples. Again, I say unto you, So this is not a new thing. This is something that He has already shared, but the principle of at least. And listen to what He says, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of My Father which is in heaven. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that scripture?
Yes.
Do you practice that? We'll get to that a little bit later in the message, and hopefully it will give you some more insight. And if you are practicing it and aware of it and try that, and if you've ever asked somebody to pray with you, you've been practicing it. But I want to vet it a little bit more for you this morning. Now let's drop back to the 18th. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then, of course, the 19th verse, which I've already read. Now listen to the 20th verse. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them.
Yeah.
Now, frankly, as you read this whole chapter, this seems to be a section of Scripture that's out of place. And that's why I wanted to emphasize to you need to keep it in context. Because what is talking about prior to this and immediately following this is disagreement, is disunity. The context of this scripture that Jesus gives to His disciples is in the midst of Him responding to His disciples when in the first part of the chapter they come to Him and they want to know who's the greatest in the kingdom. They're wanting to know where's their seat going to be in the kingdom of God. How important am I going to be? Which is going to be the most important of us? That immediately talks of division, doesn't it? Disagreement. I want to be there. That's selfishness. That's a desire to be, ranked higher or something of that nature. And then the scriptures following this, verses that I've just read for you, talks about how many times should I forgive someone who's offended me? So you see how the scripture that we're focusing on seems to be like right in the middle, sandwiched between two divisionary sections of scriptures. Jesus is having to deal with people who offend one another, people who want to rise to a higher level of importance or recognition, those who that bring offense and those that have brought offense. Okay, if they brought offense, how many times do I have to forgive them? Have you ever asked those questions? First of all, my guess is this, and I might be wrong. If somebody has offended you, my guess is you haven't even forgiven them once. Or you're still working on trying to forgive them. Some of you are smart enough maybe to do that, let alone 70 times 70. Or 100 times 100. Or what Jesus is really saying, always continue to forgive people. There's no amount of forgiveness and then you got to wash your hands of them. You're required to forgive all the time. But do you see the contention that's going on amongst the disciples? This is pretty much normal group activity. Whenever you get a church or you get a group of people together, there is always those that want to climb the ladder of importance. There's always those that are going to offend one another. There's always going to be those that want to know what position they are. And no matter if I've got to forgive somebody, how many times have I got to do it? And so you're couched between both of those ideas, or more than one, there's about three or four ideas there, but they're all referring to negative things. The nemesis of a church or any organization, is the disunity and disagreement amongst the people of that organization. This church is only blessed as much as we agree. As long as we are in agreement and as long as we are in unity, mighty things God can do in our midst. Because if two or three agree, first of all, I like the fact that he says two because if you're agreeing with yourself, you need therapy. Amen? You've been talking to yourself way too much. And you probably need a little professional help. But he doesn't say that. He says two. At least that's the minimum that he's talking about. And so the context of this is actually really perfect for the statements he's making in these three verses. Because I think it's very important that Christian people understand that the dynamics of prayer and the dynamics of answering of prayer are dependent upon and almost entirely dependent upon your attitude toward a brother or a sister in the house of God. And especially, by the way, I can give you scripture that you can look up and such where the Lord clearly tells us that if we husbands are not treating our wives right, God is not going to answer our prayers point blank. And so agreement and unity and oneness of mind and purpose is very, very important for the success of a church, the success of a business, a success of a family, success of a marriage, success in any endeavor whatsoever on the planet. It really needs agreement and unity in order to be successful. Amen? And so the context of this, I think, is really good because what's happening to Jesus' disciples is that they're beginning to have dissension among them, and that's not a good place. That's not a good thing to have happening, obviously, for the Son of God coming to bring blessings and stuff and salvation to the world and has selected these disciples who later become apostles. He's selected these men and wants them to be the kind of example. That's why he sent them out in the 12 to minister. Because one of the best ways for you to learn what dissension and disagreement and conflict is about, go minister somewhere.
Hallelujah. All right.
Then you'll begin to discover what dissension and problems are all about. So he sends 12 of them out, and then later he sends 70 of them out. Now, at each time they were sent out, great and wonderful things happened. Miracles took place. But these it's very important that you understand that Jesus was not so concerned about the miracles. He was concerned about the message, the Son of God, the Messiah has arrived. And the message is eternal life through Him. And that's the message that they were sent to share. And along with that, following that, came a lot of miracles and confirmations, of course, that what their message was saying was true. And so that's an awesome thing. And so as he trained more, he sent 70 out. And I think that's for personal training. The best way to learn how to do something is go do it. And the great thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is he allows enough grace there for you have a period of time to fall on your face and still get back up and learn how to walk. Amen?
Amen.
And so I want to share some things about the scripture because when he talks about two coming into agreement, that's verse 19, that if two of you shall agree on earth, which I have already alluded to, is probably the biggest problem on the planet. How do you get two people to agree? Amen? You got one personality, two personalities, and they're all looking out for number one. And yet what he's asking in order to have prayer answered is for these two individuals to become one in their purpose, their mind, and their goal. And we're talking about prayer and answering of prayer. And so when he talks about two, I think that's the minimum for effectiveness. But it still is effective. It doesn't matter the number. He's not concerned with the number. He's not concerned about how many times you forgive somebody, but you must forgive them. He's not concerned who's going to be the highest ranked person in his kingdom, but you're in the kingdom. That's what's important to him. And so when he talks about two in agreement, that's the minimum for effectiveness. Now, you can be effective in personal prayer. Many of you have spent a lot of time in personal prayer, and God's answered your prayers. But I got a pretty sneaking suspicion that you don't just pray alone. Oh, you may go in your closet and you may pray, and there's a great movie out about going in your war room and praying and all that kind of stuff, and God does hear and answer prayer. But if you watch that movie and you remember how you pray in your personal life, I'm pretty sure that you invoke somebody's help to help you on some of these prayers. I don't care if you go into the war room and you tear down the kingdoms of the devil. I'm pretty sure you're not alone in those prayers. I'm pretty confident that you've got other people that you've enlisted to help you pray. And that's why I think two is the best figure, or at least the minimum, to be most effective in the kingdom. It's not that you're not effective as an individual, because you know your prayer life is a strengthening and a mentoring between you and God. We're not talking about that. We're talking about getting prayer answered. Things change. Circumstances change. People's lives change. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about your personal growth and strength and relationship, although we're assuming that that's on good standing. Amen? When Jesus gives this word, he knows his disciples. He knows what their hearts are. So that's why he says two. Where two agree. The idea of unity is the most important thing on any operation or vision or purpose or goal or business or anything on the planet. We have to have unity. We have to have a leader, and we have to have unity. We can't lead ourselves, because we'll lead ourselves into a ditch. We need a focus, a vision, a purpose. God gives us those things. We know ultimately Jesus Christ is the leader. And in this church, we intend that Jesus Christ will always be the leader. This is his church. He built this church. He gathered you together to meet with him in this church. And this is the place that Jesus Christ is meeting with us on Sunday mornings. And when we come together with the same mind, same focus, that atmosphere of worship and praise and what we sense the presence of God doing in our hearts is common in the house of God, because we've come for one reason, and it's the same reason. We've come to encounter Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit sees that that happens. Amen? So, when you come to the house of God next week, try to think about this message. And if you don't remember anything else I say, remember this. I'm going to come into agreement with somebody in the church when I get there. If they're praying for somebody, I'm going to come in agreement in prayer for that person. If the church in general, the pastor has asked us to pray for an individual or a situation or something, I'm going to come and I'm going to become in agreement that God will answer that prayer. That's an assurance for you and I, that God will answer that prayer, because we came in agreement. We came together to hold up one another's needs, one another's burdens, one another's infirmities, situations, and together in agreement, we know God is going to answer that prayer. He's already said it right here. And if you believe that scripture, God will actually really do that.
Amen.
And there's a reason. Because of the unifying effect that keeps us in focus and it keeps us in direction. And that is most important if we're going to accomplish anything for Christ. It also keeps us focused on what's most important. The most important thing is that we're seeking Jesus Christ. If I need healing, I'm not seeking a healing. I'm seeking the healer. Does that make sense? That's not original to me. I've heard other great preachers say that, and I'm copying that from them and quoting that from them. But it is absolutely the truth. I don't run around wanting people to minister to my healing, get my healing. I want to get a hold of the Savior, the healer, the God of heaven, because he will heal me. He will minister to my body, because I am seeking him. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think that's ultimate. And so there's a focus, there's a unifying, and there's a public aspect to this. And that's very important. I don't know if you realize this or not, but it's very important. God holds a standard in public different than he holds a standard in private. Now listen to me. They're both equally as moral and pure. The standard is going to be high. But in public, where his reputation is on the line, he is holding us to an even higher standard. And so when he mentions this unity and this agreement, the last thing we want is for somebody that doesn't attend this church or somebody in the community that knows of this church to hear how we're divided, how we can't come together, how the church is chaotic, and how nothing really seems to be done. They all go there and it's a free-for-all. And nothing is really being accomplished for the kingdom. And all that one person hates that other, you know, the feud that's going on between these two families. Why is that important? Because in public, that is a taint on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I assure you, Jesus Christ has never offended anybody in this church. He's never divided anybody in this church. He's never harmed anybody in this church. He's been nothing but forgiving and compassionate and loving and been a great God who would forgive us if we sinned. And never do we ever want to besmirch His name. Amen? That's why we say, for God's sake, or for the sake of the Lord, or in the name of the Lord. We say those because we want what we're saying and representing to be honorable to Him, to glorify Him. And the last thing that will glorify Christ in public is for Christians to be feuding in public. Are you with me? That's why the Apostle Paul said, brothers, don't sue each other. Don't take each other to court. Well, sometimes I'm probably sure it may have had to happen and you may have had to do that to get satisfaction. But my point is, the idea is, man, don't go out into public and ask the secular people to judge spiritual things in your life. Somebody started to clap on that one. That's good. Amen? Yeah, praise the Lord. I know that was a little hard coming, but yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. We want to be the kinds of examples of unity and focus and all of these things and our goal to, of course, honor Christ in all things and to seek after Him. So in public, we're held to a different standard. And so we need to be very careful that in our private, while we're in worship, that we're very careful to keep unity and not allow any kind of division or dissension and certainly no gossip about one another.
That's right.
See, nothing may have happened, but gossip will create something to happen. Amen? And you'll cause, if one person causes another person to think bad of another person, that's sin, okay? You need to be in the altar killing a cow or something, amen? And so public, this two in agreement, if we're in a public setting, it needs to be of great example and, of course, great honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a power aspect here. God has all power. He can speak and light. He can speak and all material comes to existence. He says a word and these things happen. There is all power in God. Power to heal, power to solve any situation in your life, power to transform you, power to change your life in a dynamic and powerful way. There is all power available to answer anybody's prayer. And the formula, if you want it, is two people agreeing as touching any need on this planet, anything on this planet, and God the Father will answer and respond. He respects unity that much, along with, of course, your faith. You got to have a little faith to even make that step, amen? And so, I don't know what your need is today, but there's some aspects that you need to be aware of. He wants unity between you and the person that you're asking and enlisting to help you pray, or any other brother or sister in Christ. It doesn't have to be a specific person. It could be anybody in this church that believes and agrees with you and focuses on this need. You're in a kind of semi-public setting, though we're also in a private setting when we're in the house of God. But that power will not be released. That power will not be unleashed. The Father will not move on that need unless there is unity and agreement. So don't even begin to think that God's going to do anything unless you are in agreement with that person. Now, you may have to work through some issues because I've seen God do things like this. Pastor call out, okay, grab somebody's hand next to you and let's pray for this. And that person that's just happened, you've just endured sitting by them in church because you didn't want anybody else in church to know that you were angry with them and that they offended you. But they're now, pastor's asking you to hold hands in agreement. Power's not going to be released. It's not. You've got to lay all that aside for the goal of what you want to accomplish. Lay aside all of your personal aspirations. I don't want to be the best of the kingdom, the highest of the kingdom, the castle right next to Jesus's. That's not what I want. I just want to get in, okay? Slide me in. Put me in that old shed down there by the river where all the tools are and the mower and all. I'll stay there just so I'm in. I don't care. Where I'm at in this whole thing, because I'm certain I can name a few that are going to be up there closer to where Jesus lived. But what I want is for the free move of God's power in our church and in our personal lives. And if I know God at all, it's going to be systematic. It's going to be organized. It's not going to be chaotic. It's going to be the kind of power that's released, that has purpose, and it is accomplishing things. And it's not just demonstration to demonstrate. He does not show his power just to show you that he has the power. You know, a person that shows you the greatest confidence is a person that doesn't have to tell you that he's confident. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's got the power. And he's not afraid to use it. But he's not going to reward something that is illegitimate. Are you listening to me? He's not going to answer prayer for people that don't agree. The reason is, if he does, he's rewarding and he's illegitimizing the move and the answer to prayer. He's rewarding people who are not agreeing by answering their prayer. That illegitimizes the answer and the prayer. God's not going to do it. I'll tell you right now, God is not going to reward anything that is not in harmony with himself. That's why, what did he say in verse 18? Let's just kind of review that for a second. I think it's very good at this point. Verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now you know why he does not want to bless something that's illegitimate. Bound on heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I think that's very important because he wants us in every setting, public or in semi-private or in your private life. He wants it all to be legitimate. Why does he want it to be legitimate? Because he's righteous. He does things right. He does not reward sin. He does not reward illegitimacy. And so when you pray in disagreement or you don't forgive or you don't have a good relationship and you're not positive in your relationship to other brothers and sisters, don't be expecting God to answer your prayer. Now it got quiet. I knew it was going to get quiet at some point, but here it is. God's not going to reward disagreement. Why? Because he's right, righteous. And he wants everything in your life to be based on what's right. Let me ask you something. Your kids, you tell your kid, hey man, I don't want you to get on your bicycle and ride down to the store. I want you to ride right around here in the neighborhood and stay close to the house. Next thing you know, you go out to call them, come to dinner, and they're not there. They're out a couple blocks away. Let me ask you something. Are you going to give them cake for dinner that night? My guess is you're not going to reward disobedience. Amen? You're not going to reward misbehavior. And one of the problems with God's people is we cry out, God help us. God answer our prayer. God help me in this situation. And all along I've been disobedient. And so it is far better to obey than to sacrifice. That's a good word, isn't it? That is a good word. And so these dynamics are things we wrestle with all the time. These are practical dynamics. We wrestle with these very exact things as Christians. Why isn't my God answering my prayer? He has all power. He has the ability. Why doesn't he do it? Well, I would go back personally, and I have, and I do, go back and I check my checklist. Have I got offense at somebody, or have I offended somebody? Have they not come to tell me about my offense? Have I not worked things out? Is there someone I've not forgiven, or someone has not forgiven me? God help me to know that so that I can deal with that. And I go through that checklist. Where am I? Is God not answering prayer because I am not where I need to be? I'm not being obedient. I'm not in agreement with him and his harmony and his blessings and his ministry. I'm not in harmony with that. Then I can't expect God to answer my prayer. And the reason that I think that's important is because of that 18th verse. God does not want you loosing things on this planet that he's not in harmony and agreement with. Because if you're going to loose or have the kind of authority that verse talks about, now I'm trying to be very careful with this because some people, and maybe some of you in the church, I don't know, have taken this to such a stinking extreme, it just makes me mad. And you know, when I get mad, I get this strangulation kind of thing going through my mind. Then I got to repent. And I don't like to repent like that. I want to just choke you when you think like this. These words are not given for you to go into an extreme with it. Hello? run around loosing things, run around. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual authority granted the church, which includes you, and that whatever you pray for is going to be in harmony with what God wants for you. Amen? God may want you to have a Mercedes and you're praying for a stinking Cadillac. What's the matter with you?
My God.
By the way, I don't go with that move either, but anyway. My point is, God wants you to be in complete harmony and operate in His spiritual authority in balance and in agreement with His Spirit. Hello? Not a spirit, His Spirit. I hope you're mature enough to understand what that just meant. Because there's a lot of spirits out there that we sometimes think is the Holy Spirit, and it's really not the Holy Spirit. And so the other thing is, there's not only a power aspect to it, but there's a confirming aspect to it. God wants, through the answer of His prayer, to show the harmony of verse 18 when He fulfills verse 19 so that verse 20 can be complete in you. When we're in agreement and we're gathered together, by the way, when we're in disagreement and gathered together, Jesus hesitates to show up. But when we're in agreement as touching anything, it's because two of us have gathered together in His name. Hello? What does He say? Where two or three are gathered, He adds another person just for confirmation. I will be in the midst of you. I will be here. I know I've failed God a couple times. I'll just confess right here to you. And maybe if you've had this same sin in your life, maybe you haven't, you can deal with it on your own. But I have actually refused to preach to two or three. I've been a pastor of a church where nobody showed up. It was me and my wife and son.
Preach the word.
I decided my wife hears me all the time. My son knows me well enough. So we left and went home. But I have preached to small crowds. Numbers doesn't really make that much difference because Jesus is in the presence. And if Jesus is there, really, come on, think about this. If Jesus is there, isn't that what you're wanting? If others don't want to join that, that's their decision. That's fine. Nobody makes you come to church. You come to encounter Christ. You come to feel His Spirit moving in your heart. You come to let God know what your needs are. And He comes to let you know how concerned He is and how much He loves you and how He wants to answer your prayer. Amen? And so it's not the number. But my sin was that I refused to preach to my wife and kid alone. So I don't know if you really have to repent about those or not. But anyway, it's happened. And now here's some other aspects of that. Because with the power, with the confirming of God's prayer and presence, answer to prayer and presence is a fortifying aspect. It fortifies our faith. It builds us into a fortress. It makes us strong. It makes us able to handle the darts of the enemy and to be able to repel them so that the power of God can still move in us. Because we've learned the power of victory in agreement. We've decided that we're going to agree together, that we're going to let the Spirit of God move. We're going to ask God to do a particular thing. We're going to do whatever it is that our prayer or our agreement is requiring of us, and God will answer that prayer.
Amen.
God will answer that prayer. It's not that we have to have every duck in a row. It's that we have to agree regardless. I may not understand everything about it. I may not understand all that the aspects that are, what all they mean. I don't know how to get them all together. But I'm just describing for you the things that are at work when you come into agreement. Yes. And the power of God is released and unleashed on us. And when it's unleashed on us, He has just loosed His power on earth, and it is also loosed in heaven.
Amen.
Man, that's awesome. That's just awesome stuff. Now, here's the great part I wanted to encourage you in. This is part that will really, I hope, make you a dynamic Christian. And that is, it is your attitude. There is power in your attitude. In order for you to come into agreement, there has to be something positive happening. Something very positive happening. Somebody has to lay down their own selfish desires to come into agreement with someone else. Sometimes that's not a factor, but many times we have to lay aside our needs our concerns, our infirmities, as we come into agreement with someone else about this thing we're praying about. Amen? And so there's an aspect there that we have to be positive about this. This is not about me. This is about whatever this need is. And I want to see God answer this prayer. So I'm coming into agreement as the scripture instructs us to do. I'm coming into agreement to see the power of God released. Yes. Yes. And God will release his power.
Amen.
You know, and here's an interesting thing, just a side note. You know, a lot of times we think the power of God is blowing the roof off. The power of God is equal to the situation. If the roof needs to be blown off, blow it off. But if it is a still, small voice that speaks peace into a turmoiled life, is that not just as much the power of God? Certainly it is. I would love to see the chariots of fire. I'm waiting for the day for it to happen. I'm roaring through here and up through the roof and the angels of God's choir just starting to sing and we all just rise up to be with him. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
Equal to that, listen to me, equal to that is that still small voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks into my troubled life and makes peace in my heart. That's powerful. I have a new outlook. I have a new focus. I am a different person. I have change happening in my life, and it's happening for the better. That is just as powerful as blowing the roof off. Our need should determine the release of God's power. What do I need? If they're burning me at the stake, I need grace to die gracefully.
Yes. That's right.
If I'm battling cancer, I need the grace of God to believe for healing, trust God for healing, and accept the outcome.
That's right.
I'm still living in power. And I'm still living positively. Amen? I'm living positively. I think it's very important that we're positive in every aspect of this whole dynamic about prayer and answered prayer. I think our attitude has to be positive. The negative is natural for a Christian, or for a person, not just a Christian. It's natural to be negative. You know how I know that? Clear back in the Garden of Eden, I can prove this to you. Clear back in the Garden of Eden, negative is natural. Who told you you were naked? Well, that woman. She gave me that apple and I ate it. Am I right? Absolutely right. Negativity was instant. It's an instant response on the part of somebody that's struggling and had disobeyed the Lord. You don't always have to be the disobeyed. You can walk in negativity easy. It's part of our nature. We all gripe about everybody else, blame everybody else. Woe is me, all my problems, or whatever. Am I right? And there are legitimate problems. Don't get me wrong. There are legitimate things. But I'm just saying, if we're negative in all of our attitude, we very seldom understand positive things happening in our life. But if we have a positive attitude, where when someone offends us, we just have a positive attitude toward that. Oh, they must not have understood. Or don't make excuses. Just say, well, okay, maybe they're right. Maybe I am a lowlife. Either way, you're facing the issue, and you are conquering the issue by your attitude. Everybody knows what a bad attitude is, don't we?
Yeah.
Has anybody ever had a bad attitude?
Oh, yeah.
Some of you are just lying to yourselves. And so the positive part of this has to do with your attitude. The second thing, and this is very important because I think it comes from a positive attitude, or it can overcome a negative attitude, and that is to speak positively.
Absolutely.
I think you set a lot of things in motion by how you say things. And if I speak positively, especially to situations that are negative, if I speak positive toward those, I am affecting good things into that situation. And I'm injecting into their lives something very positive. And you need to especially do that concerning yourself. I'm not very good at that. I never was very good at that. That's bull. You can learn to do anything. You can learn and you can excel at it. Some of you may excel for more than others, but there's nothing on this planet you can't learn. Don't tell me you can't. You can. If it's knowable knowledge, you can know it and you can learn it. And skills, you may not ever be the best at it, but you can do them. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I heard this lady on the radio last week, 4'10". Marine major, I think. Marine major. And she's barking out, hey, listen, don't be changing the standards to be a Marine for women. Women can do it. They may have to work harder. They may have to train more. But they can do what the man can do. And, you know, that wasn't a feminist thing. It was not this woman that hates men. You know, it wasn't that kind of thing. It was a woman who has achieved, encouraging others to achieve as well. 4'10", and she can kick your butt. Huh? I'm telling you, you can learn or do anything. That's right. And plus, she's a major in the Marine Corps. I think that's pretty awesome. She does something like from 25 to 30 pull-ups. Folks, I can't do one pull-up. You know, they tried to change it to just jump up there to hang on the bar for 15 seconds, and that was equivalent. She jumped up there and jacked out 25 pull-ups. She said, don't change this for us. We know how to fight. And I wouldn't go against her for nothing, 4'10" or whatever. I'm pretty certain she can kick my can. But that's the whole point. What's your attitude? She's got the most positive attitude. Do you know why people become great? You know why nations become great? Peoples become great. And I'm not talking about Irish or German or Indian. I'm talking about peoples. We're a people. We're American people. You know why we become great? Because we have the positive attitude. We can do it. We can be the greatest, and we are. Hello, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so you need to speak positively even into your own personal life. My wife and I have just made a kind of a compact together where we've decided to stop saying negative things. And it's hard for me because, you know, I'm one of those guys that looks at something and assesses it and then gives my opinion. And many times that opinion is not very positive. And so we've kind of come to this agreement that we're going to not speak negative things into our life. We're not going to talk about negative things. We're going to speak positive. If we see something that's negative, we're going to try to look for the positive to speak about that. And in our prayer life and in our relationships, we want to speak positive power things into people's lives. Now, I don't think that's some great formula, and I don't have any magic wand, but it certainly is changing my attitude and making it positive. And I'm a pretty positive guy, but I would like to be more positive. And I think my prayer life would change. The answers to my prayer would change because I am beginning to speak positive and powerful things in my life. And then I think, obviously, third, the things you do. You need to do positive things in relationship to how you live. I want to do good things. I want to have the actions that I do. I want to remove all the atmosphere in my life that offers an opportunity for Satan to get in and create divisions. You know, when you start thinking negative, that's what happens. You're opening up a door for the devil to come in and tell you lies and tell you mistruths or half-truths or to sidetrack you to keep you off track. That's what the devil likes to do. And when you think positively, he can't do that. He can't drop those negative things into your mind and your heart because you're rejecting them. You're purposely, decisively, I am not going to be negative. I'm going to be speaking positive. I think that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's in the midst of two situations. Whoa, there's going to be offenses all the time. But it's not the offense, it's how you respond to it. But it's also woe be to the person who brings the offense. You know, that's the kind of things he's talking about. And then, how many times do I got to forgive this guy? He's in the midst of that, and he's speaking positively here. Is he not? He's saying, whatsoever you loose, it's going to be loose in heaven. I'm going to come into agreement with you. You come into agreement with me. Huh? And if two gather together and pray for this particular issue, the Father's going to answer that prayer. Yes. That's as positive as it gets, folks. Yes. I'm talking about a Savior that's power positive. I like that. And so Jesus is harmonious by nature. And so our positive attitude needs to be in harmony with God's nature. He's positive. Love is a positive thing, isn't he? God is love. That's positive. That's power stuff. That's life-changing stuff. That's prayer-answering stuff. All you've got to do is love the Lord and make him aware of what he already knows and what that is, whatever your need is. And so what is created there is an atmosphere where God can answer prayer, where it's positive and where he wants to move in effective ways and wants to do wonderful things. And here's the confirming verse. The last verse, where two or three of you gather in my name, I am in the midst. That is the ultimate confirming factor. If you do all these other things, I am with you. I am here to bless you. I'm here to answer your prayer. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to lift you up, not tear you down. Build you up, not condemn you. Amen? There's no condemnation. None in Jesus Christ. But I've sinned against Christ. How many of us have not? No condemnation. Conviction and opportunity to repent, yes. Condemnation, no. Jesus condemned all sin at Calvary. Is that not a positive thing? Wipes away all sin. Anyone who comes, anyone who asks, he forgives them. Everybody that comes to me and asks me, I don't always forgive them. Aren't you thankful I'm not the Lord? But he does. He's positive. And he's an initiator. He's the one that starts these things and encourages us. And in the midst of turmoil in his men, his disciples, his apostles, in the turmoil in the midst of them, the division, the disagreement that was already there, right in the midst of them, he tells them how to be positive. And you'll be positive because I'll be there. I don't know about you, but there's a certain accountability thing there. Amen? If Jesus is here, ought we not act better than this? Ought we not be more faithful than this? Ought we not express our faith? Ought we not be positive about what we believe in Jesus Christ? It's when we're positive, God is able to do what we need him to do in our lives. I don't know about you, but that's pretty good stuff.
Amen.
And by the way, frogs don't do well in refrigerators. I had to throw that in. So, I'm sorry. I ruined their graduation yesterday with frogs in the midst. People looked at me like, and of course that was the idea. And so, can I explain? Well, it was just part of my speech yesterday. It didn't mean anything. That was one of my irrefutable truths of life. Undeniable truth. Frogs don't do well in refrigerators. But that was the whole idea. People are listening to you, and all of a sudden, don't put frogs in the refrigerator. They go, huh? It's part of my positive, mind-blowing experience. You've got to remember, I came from the 60s. I'm the one who wrote a speech in speech class in college on the Uncola. Does anybody ever remember that? Does anybody remember the advertising program by 7-Up? It's called itself the Uncola. I wrote a speech in college. To un or not to un? That is the question. That's the only part I remember about it. But anyway, I gave a speech in college. And everybody there looked at me like, what? I got an A on it, though, so hey, what's so bad about that? That was pretty good. So let me condense this to the end. The most important thing in this whole three verses that he shared is that he is in our midst.
Amen.
We are in his presence. We welcome his presence, prayers are answered. We welcome his presence, situations are changed. Turmoil is calmed. Peace reigns in our hearts. Victory and power flows through our lives. Jesus then is recognized as the source to the answer. Our selfish ambition begins to fade away, no longer there. Jesus becomes the central and only focus. Then miracles begin to happen. The Father responds, the worker of miracles, the doer of miracles responds to our prayer because of our attitude toward Jesus. In His presence, do we revile Him or do we honor Him? Are we upset at Him? And by the way, it don't scare Him to be you be upset at Him. But in honoring His Son, the Father honors our prayer. Wow, that's positive stuff. Isn't that good stuff? I think that's just where it's at. And then you begin to recognize love reigns. Jesus is exalted. Benefits come to our lives. Because in this church, I don't know what other churches do. I don't know what all of their focuses are. I don't know what other programs are. Hopefully all of it points to Christ. But as for me and in this church, Jesus will be the center and the focus of this church. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Praise the Lord. God is good. So the next time you read this verse, I want you to put it in real action. Positively approach this verse. Let God be the focus, of course. Jesus be the focus. And let our agreement... Give me just another minute. Have you noticed that as we were worshiping today, maybe I sense it different than others. I hope not. I hope you all sense it the way I do. But when the Spirit of God is moving, it's like the atmosphere in the building is conducive to just saying, "Praise you, Jesus." Did you sense that? Do you sense that? That's kind of the way I feel when the Spirit says, music starts. Now, you have to give a lot of credit to the talent that we have on the stage, doing a wonderful job of leading us in worship and exhorting to us. And all these things are wonderful things that are happening. And it's in that presence. That's why some people come up here for prayer during that time, because the Spirit of God is moving. It's that atmosphere that is created because we are welcoming Jesus into the service, welcoming Him into the midst. Prayer is a small thing for Him to do. Small thing, small power to answer your prayer needs. But in His presence, have you not noticed that we love one another? That we really start coming into agreement? Amen? If that were not true, if we're not in agreement while we're worshiping this morning, it would have been the dullest worship service in the world. Amen? But because you were welcoming Christ and honoring Him, coming into agreement with the rest of us, that the Holy Spirit creates the atmosphere. It just seems like when that's happening, I can say, "God, help me in this area. I just give that to You." And I ask somebody, one of the guys, prayer warriors, to pray with me about it. Or you might do the same thing. And it just seems like that assurance, that confidence flows. And positive things begin to happen in my life. I want God to create that kind of atmosphere wherever I go. Amen? I want to be in that. I don't know if that's always possible. But I want to encourage you, as much as possible in you, come into agreement with Jesus Christ concerning your brothers and sisters in Christ. Come into agreement with the Lord as concerning negative situations that are going on in your life, your family's life. Come into agreement with the Lord concerning how He moves and how the atmosphere is created by the Holy Spirit. So next week when we gather again, He'll be even more electric with the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we've come to honor Him. We didn't come to just sing, didn't come to give offerings, didn't come to find out what the next thing that's happening. We came to be ministered to by Jesus Christ. He's our focus. And so I want to pray for you. I want to pray this prayer. And I do these kinds of prayers, and I know God does these things, but nobody ever comes back and tells me. I have to hear some of it, you know, via word of mouth. But I'm going to pray a prayer for you that God creates an opportunity for you to come into agreement with somebody concerning something. I don't know. Whatever it might be. I want God to put you in the place where you and another person welcome the presence of Christ into your conversation, and it turns to praying for a need, and watch God do a wonderful thing. I want to put this in practice. I want to challenge you with this. And so I want to pray that prayer for you. If you can receive that, come into agreement with that, look out, because this week God's going to do something pretty cool. So I want to pray that prayer if you'll allow me to. Father, bless your people today. Bless this congregation. Just anoint them and renew them, encourage them. Do all those things that you do anyway, Lord. But do it in a stronger and better way. But I want to ask you to give them an opportunity to experience firsthand honoring you in a conversation with someone else. Allows your presence, welcomes your presence into that conversation. And as they speak positive things into each other's lives, that you create power into them for that particular need, whatever it might be. And I want it to be so dynamic, Lord, that they'll come back to the house of God and testify how you made an opportunity and give us the details of how you did a wondrous work through this week, Father. I just pray that blessing and that anointing on your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you and change the world this week, will you? Yeah. Go, hold on for just a second. Vera's going to share something. Yes, ma'am.
And it's the last longer than I had anticipated on.
Right.
But it's through Christian music and the prayers of people that has kept my attitude in agreement with the Lord.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Attitude is a major thing. You have to keep your attitude where God will bless you.
Amen. Amen.
And to have an outlook on life. Because I used to be where I could go do whatever.
Right.
And I have been so challenged by the Lord and not by Him. But He's allowed me to go through all this.
Yeah. Amen. All right, let's give God praise for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Bless you, Vera May. Thanks for that testimony. That was awesome. Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.